Our scripture reading is from Ephesians, and you're welcome to read with me as it comes up on the screen. Paul writes and says, "That's no life for you, the old ways. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance, everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life. It has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you." In this scripture, Paul shares about a new way of life, a new outlook on life. And it's very simple. He says, life is Jesus. And he says to us, I assume that you've paid careful attention to him. Because if you look at him, if you look at who he is and how he lived, and when you follow him, then you will find life. Then you find that you're a new person with a new heart. And yet, you can experience that even though you have a new heart, you behave in ways and have patterns that are not in line with this new way. And you have to work through these patterns, this old way, which you need to let go because it's rotten through and through. And that's why he says, put on the new person like new clothing every day. What a beautiful metaphor. When you wake up every morning and open your cupboard and decide to put on clothes for the day, Paul says, put on the new way. As you put that on, remember who you are in Christ every day, so that you can take off the old clothes, the old patterns, the old ways, and replace them. You have to gain insight. You have to realize that things are going to come your way that will bring your old ways of life to the front lines of your life. Then you have to let that go and start living from the new you and the new way. Take that off and put on the new clothes. And so today we ask God for his grace to help us with this journey of taking off the old, putting on the new, and also within our emotions. Because emotions are experiences of joy or sadness, anger, bitterness, gratitude. They're all central to our lives. Emotions are a blessing and a problem. We can't live without them, but we can hardly live with them. And I've been thinking about this, and I think a big reason is because we try to control our emotions. When it comes to emotions, I sometimes, when I experience unpleasant emotions, feel that I need to try harder. I must choose joy. I must choose to be a more loving person today. The thing is, we become masters of denial, of putting on masks when we live this way. And this becomes the greatest place of deception to ourselves and our heart. Because no one has ever succeeded in mastering or controlling or resisting their emotions by willpower alone. We might manage to suppress our emotions, but in Paul's words, this way of life is rotten through and through and has to go. So emotions are central to our spiritual journey. We're not robots that can switch emotions on or off. It's part of our life. And we see the importance of emotions in our spiritual formation throughout the Christian tradition, from the Psalms to the prophets to the Desert Fathers. They are integral to our life with God. And we need God's help in this part and area of life as well. So today, three invitations from Scripture to help us grow in this new way of life with our emotions. And the first invitation is to experience. We have to experience and feel our emotions. That's how God created us. He created us to respond to certain things that happen in our life. Yet many of us are cut off from our inner world. We stay in our minds. We try and rationalize because we don't want to go to that place of really feeling and experiencing. Part of getting healthy and healing is getting in touch with the emotion that you have and not to repress it. Many of us don't want to feel because we don't like experiencing those unpleasant emotions. I'd rather just feel good. I just want to feel the pleasant stuff in life. Or we give people what we think they need so that I can be accepted and function well. I think we've all done this in some area of our life. So how are you doing? No, fine, great. But actually inside I'm drowning. Here's the thing. When we live this way, it causes that we don't have integrity in life. We split our inner and outer world. Because what I show outside and what is really going on inside are worlds apart. And I start living with a dissonance. And therapists say that this is one of the root causes of depression in people's lives. I remember a few years ago, I was going through a hard time and I was meeting regularly with my therapist. And one day we're in a conversation and I say to him, I'm so scared. And he looks at me and he says, but why are you smiling when you say that to me? And that moment changed my life, so to speak. Because I started becoming aware of what I'm really experiencing and feeling and the way that I work with emotions. I try and hide them. I try and mask them. But this created a massive, massive integrity gap in my life with God and with others. During this time, I read a study which suggests that our emotions lie on a scale. Horizontally, a scale from low to high, and vertically, a scale from pleasant to more unpleasant emotions. And our emotions flow in between these vertical and horizontal scales. But it's part of being human. Sometimes we find ourselves feeling more low than high, and sometimes more pleasant than others. And I thought about some stories in Scripture that might help us see what the scale would look like practically in someone's life. And David came to mind. In Psalm 18, for example, we read how he expresses a very high, pleasant emotion that he's feeling. He says, with your help, God, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. You can just hear something of that high energy. Then in Psalm 23, we read how he experiences a lower energy emotion that's pleasant. He's more calm and relaxed. And he says that God takes me and leads me to green pastures and still waters. There he refreshes my soul. Then in 1 Samuel 18, when David achieves great success, we read that King Saul is envious of David. His anger flares up. He acts out of fear and this anger, wrath, and finally tries to kill David. And here we see how an expression of a very high, unpleasant emotion. And then in Psalm 13, We read that David experiences the opposite of a high, pleasant, jumping over a wall emotion. And he in fact hits a wall. Experience a very low, unpleasant place. Feels that. He's devastated. He fears for his life. He thinks about suicide. And we see how he faces and experiences and lives with a great depression. Here's the thing. I think we tend to always want to go for the high, pleasant emotions. I want to jump over walls. I want to charge into this world. I want to produce and I want to perform up here all the time. But no one can be there all the time. Often, many times, we need time where we can lie down in green pastures, where we are beside still waters so that our souls can be restored, so that when we experience the unpleasant low or high energy emotions, we have a place where we can go to on an inner journey to be able to get to ourselves, where we can feel, where we can experience, and we can work with it. So where are you on the scale today? How are you really feeling? And what are you really feeling and experiencing? It's only when we experience and come to that core and essence that we can start expressing. And that is Paul's next invitation. He says, speak the truth to each other. So he's saying verbalize, express. Express the emotions that you are experiencing. Talk to someone about it. Think about it and put words to it so that you can say it. Because what happens when I do this? Catharsis. We see it in David's life when he articulates the emotions in the Psalms. There's always a twist. Lamentations become songs of praise because there's a sobriety that comes. When I say it out loud, I cool down. Now that I talk about it, I start to think and realize, it's probably not a good idea to do that or act on that. Because the problem is when emotions come over us and I just give myself to that, I emotionalize everything. I just want to react on them. I often ruin my life. And often I also ruin the lives of people around me. Take a moment, stop. I think it was Luther that said, you can't help it when a crow flies over your head, but you can help it when it tries to build a nest. It can come over me. It can fly through my head, but that doesn't mean I have to follow it. That doesn't mean I have to react or respond to it, express it so that healing and sobriety can come. This is one of the greatest discoveries of the power of therapy, that when I go through the process of articulating my emotions, healing can come. A new insight can come. New way of seeing can come. This is what Jesus, the great therapist, teaches us. When he meets two people who were depressed, disappointed on the road to Emmaus, he started walking with them and he asks them, why are you so down? And they said to him, haven't you heard what happened? They're actually talking about Jesus and talking about his crucifixion. And Jesus takes on a therapeutic role and he says to them, tell me about it. He doesn't say to them, yes, I know. He says, no, tell me, express it, give words to what you are feeling. If you can just find someone who is willing to listen to you and you get that sense that you're understood, and you can say what is inside of you, that alone can make you whole. It can help you function better. The third invitation is then to exchange. Paul gives this beautiful metaphor in verse 24. You have to make this new lifestyle a part of your life as one puts on new clothes. He continues and says, this old person, the old outlook and way of life, lay it down, put on a new person. There's a but. David expresses this action, this exchange of one way to another with that word in the psalm, but. There's always a but. You're a new person. You have an old person, a flesh, a life within which you are the center, a life that you want to create for yourself, that you want to control. But Paul says in Galatians, it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. It doesn't work out well. Let it go because you're a new person. There's a heart, there's a spirit you've received. And let all manifestations of a life of which I think I'm the center, let that go. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, slander, evil speaking be banished from you with all malice and spite or ill will. That's how he describes this laying down old patterns in the Amplified Bible. Everything you notice in your life that is depriving me of being the new person I am, I want to stop it and I need to let it go. Let it go. I want to close with a prayer from Thomas Keating, which has helped me on this journey, especially in a life where I want to take control of my emotions, of my passions. And maybe it can be helpful for you today on this journey and this week. He prays and he says, welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. And I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for esteem and affection, approval and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person or myself because I want to open. I open myself to the love and the presence of God. And God's action, God's work within me. Maybe you want to paraphrase that prayer sometime this week in your time with God, where you express. I've paraphrased it and I'm going to close off with my version of this prayer. And you're welcome to pray that with me. Lord, I welcome the emotions that you've given me, you've created me to feel. I welcome them so that I can experience them, feel them, admit, acknowledge them in order to verbalize, give words to them so that I can let go of the tendencies and the patterns and the ways of my old life where I want to hide them. Or repress them, or control them. Lord, I want to become more whole. I want to experience your healing. So help me to say them out loud to you. I let go of the desires to shape a life without you. I let go of my idea of a perfect life where I am in the center, the middle of it all. I want to let go so that I can receive. I want to receive the newness, the new ways. I want to receive life and the truth and hope. I want to receive you, God, as you come to my life. I want you to help me gain insight. Change my ways of seeing, Lord. Change the way that I see this world, that I see myself. I want to be the new person that you've created me to be. I long to live from this place, act from this place, dream from this place, relate from this place. I ask for your grace to be able to do this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us again today. If you have any prayer requests or want to speak to someone, please contact our pastoral team. Some of our team members are ready to pray with you and listen and be with you as you open your heart and your life to God. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace and presence of his Holy Spirit remain with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.